colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. To start the show, I often mention the various methods of genocide taking place in the U.S., and today we'll be discussing those. The first method we'll be discussing is geoengineering or chemtrails, then followed by the forced vaccination of children and people in the military with vaccines that include mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and tissue from aborted babies. Another method is the prescribing of mind and body damaging drugs to people of all ages and the medical care in the U.S. that causes diseases but does not cure any. We'll also discuss the toxic chemicals in food sold in grocery stores to families in America and the poisoned drinking water all over the U.S. My guest today is Matt Landman, an expert on chemtrails and vaccines. He will tell us about the harm caused to people and the planet by chemtrails and the damage caused by vaccines. Matt hosted the first annual Global Chemtrail Summit in May of this year in Vancouver, Canada, and he will also be hosting the second annual Global Chemtrail Summit in Portland, Oregon. He is also producing and directing a feature film on chemtrails titled Frankenskies. So I'll bring Matt on now, and I'll have him start by telling us a little bit about this new movie. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm glad to have you on. I'm excited. You know, I was listening to some of your videos today, and I seen you talking about this movie that you're producing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, happily. It has been a mission, and it is a work in progress, but I'm really excited to say that I've got a trailer that'll be coming out for soon, and I'm looking to have the film released by year end. Under the umbrella Meet the Frankens, so it's Meet the Frankens, Frankenskies, chemtrails, Frankenfoods, GMOs, Frankenchildren, mandatory vaccines, do you really want a Franken future? So I've got a marketing background. I'm really trying to push my advertising and business capabilities by integrating that in the activist community and really, you know, kind of trying to get to the masses, right, by using these techniques that I've, you know, learned through my workings in the Matrix and whatnot. But either way, do you really want a Franken future, right? So Frankenskies falls under that umbrella, and it's a feature documentary talking about the global warming hoax, talking about atmospheric aerosol persistent linear cirrus cloud formations being used to manipulate the weather. It's talking about a lot of stuff. And I don't want to ruin anything, but I have a presentation online that I've been going around giving to different universities and different audiences that details the global warming hoax and kind of is an outline of the film that I would love to be able to share with people more so online. But I'm getting there. I think my Facebook, if you've seen it, my presentation at Humboldt State University has around 15,000 views so far. But, I mean, really we need millions, you know, so one step at a time.
Right, right. Now, how long have you been interested in how long have you been investigating the geoengineering and the chemtrails?
Okay, so my story, I guess I'll just tell you my story.
Sure.
I'm from Virginia, grew up in the D.C. area, went to Virginia Tech, moved to California, and then I ended up in Northern California back in school getting my MBA. After that, I ended up on a farm after working as a finance analyst and all these other jobs. But I ended up literally getting grounded on a farm where I saw the sky every single day. And this was about 5 years ago. So I'm pretty new to it all, considering the veteran activists that have been witnessing this since the mid-90s, especially the uptick. So I'm working on a farm 5 years ago, and we grew potatoes and winter squash, a lot of winter vegetables. And we get... So I'm living in Northern California on the coast. And for all of your listeners, we're on the East Coast, right? Primarily your listeners, huh? Is that right?
Well, I'm in Green Bay in the middle of the country, but it's broadcast out of New York.
Okay. So where I was living in Northern California, it's called the mouth of the atmospheric river, otherwise known as like the jet stream, where the jet stream comes over from the Pacific and crosses the country. And we have this traditional jet stream that does this little curve across the country, and it brings the moisture off the Pacific, comes all the way over there, and that's how even New York gets its moisture, you know. Now it's kind of being now it's more so going up into Canada and coming down, but it all comes off the Pacific. So that mouth of the atmospheric river, they call it, is where I live, where the jet stream came off the ocean. It's a big point for weather patterns where they begin in the transcontinental United States and whatnot, okay, North America. Okay. So I'm working on the farm, and we have this weather prediction, 100% chance of rain for the next week, huge storm systems coming. And we did. We got huge storm systems at the end of October or November, you know, early November, every single year. Every year, for as long as anybody can remember, we have this traditional seasonal deluge that starts in the late fall and goes into the early spring. It's like 3-4 months of on and off rain, really. And there's 3,000-year-old redwood trees that are used to it. It's a whole ecosystem. So what I witnessed on the edge of this storm, this is like my, you know, you asked me how long I've been into it. This is about 5 years ago. This is right when I got really interested into it. And I had a big push after this event. I saw weather manipulation. What I witnessed was on the edge of the storm pattern, we got 100% chance of rain for the next week. I've got frogs and salamanders coming out from underneath my house that I haven't seen in a year. It's an ecosystem, you know. I'm waiting for this rain. I'm harvesting these pumpkins, and there's no air traffic, very, very sparse air traffic where I was living, and I'm a statistics professional. I'm literally trained in statistics, and I can see anomalies and outliers and whatnot, and there was no air traffic. I mean, it doesn't take a statistician to see no planes in the sky and then a huge uptick. But either way, on the edge of this storm pattern, I saw 20 planes come, and I saw line 20? After line after line. Yeah, grid pattern. A huge grid was put in the sky of these persistent, linear, cirrus cloud formations out of the back of planes. Lines in the sky that stayed there. They dissipated into a haze, and then a whole other fleet came. I'm talking 20 planes, like a huge fleet, whereas there's no planes in the sky leading up to it for months. I mean, like if you're watching, these phenomenon are actually very noteworthy, you know. This isn't just a conspiracy theory or a theory or anything. It's really in your face, especially when you live in an area where there's no air traffic and then you get a bunch of air traffic on the edge of a storm pattern, you know. So they came, and they gridded the sky, and the next day the storm came, big black cloud. No rain fell out of this cloud system. No rain fell. Really? The sky was dark for a few days. The storm zipped by, and no rain fell out. So I started doing my research. Sorry, I'm babbling on, but I'll be done in a second. I started doing my research because I was curious. You know, I witnessed this. Right. It didn't really click. California went into a drought, you know.
Right.
Like, it happened year after year. We went into a really severe drought. And I started thinking to myself, well, what about these big storms that are coming, and what are these planes doing? And, you know, I started just looking up lines in the sky and, you know, doing my own research. And come to find out, I wasn't the only one in California or on the West Coast or globally that was witnessing this phenomenon on the edge of storm patterns. Whereas, you know, they don't have a fleet that can – I mean, they have a pretty large fleet, it seems, that are doing this. But still, we're at a point where we can – where they're not all the time. And that's the big thing that I like to tell people is, like, you ever see lines in the sky from planes? I ask people, and they say yes. And I say, you mean sometimes. And that's kind of like the trigger right now is for people to think, it is not all the time. Like, there's a pattern to when the lines are there, and that's really the tell. So either way, I got pretty into it and really bringing some attention to it and started passing out flyers and doing presentations and stuff. And I didn't gain any momentum or get any, I didn't have any traction with what I was doing. This was 5 years ago, and it kind of fizzled. And then about a year ago, I really, I realized I can't give those lines in the sky the benefit of the doubt, and like, you know, because I thought, you know, oh, maybe it's, you know, I got into all these maybes, and I didn't want to devote my entire life to it at this one point a couple years ago, but then I decided, like, I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt. It's not solar radiation management out to save us. They're not manipulating the weather for the good. You know, it's actually a really evil agenda, and I looked into it and did a bunch of research, and it's an onion that just keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. So what I learned was, I'm almost there. What I learned was is in 1916, they hired this guy, Hatfield, out of San Diego. He sprayed silver in the atmosphere to solve the drought, and the silver iodide made it flood for 4 days. So they realized that you can make it rain by spraying silver in the atmosphere in 1916. Around that time, they also learned that you can make it not rain by dissipating cloud systems by spraying aluminum or barium strontium. They have the same chemical makeup. They're in the same area of the periodic table. Right. So they have the same atomic makeup. So these clouds were being dissipated by use of aluminum. People were testing the rainwater, any little bit of rainwater that came out after these heavy spray days, and they're seeing this huge uptick in aluminum. You know, there's patents on it. And so, like, come to find out, yeah, here I am. Yeah, so long story short, 5 years ago I woke up to it, but I really devoted my life to it about a year ago now, about a year and a half. And I'm not backing down now.
See, I didn't even really catch on to these. It probably was about 10 months ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, different times I you know, would heard of chemtrails and this and that. And a couple times I think I even tried to Google it or something, but nothing much came up. And this would have been a couple of years ago or something. But I only really caught on to it, like, probably about 10 months ago that I caught everything else, too. And it's just like, my God, this is genocide. You know, but this is the ultimate one. I mean, people won't wake up to this, and this is harming everyone and everything, our planet. I mean, like you said, when people are measuring the rainwater and stuff, what kind of numbers with aluminum and stuff are they finding in rainwater nowadays?
Well, that's funny. When you ask what kind of numbers, it's all comparative. It's all comparative. You know, like when you've got agencies like the EPA upping their health, like the measurable limits that are healthy, like they're changing their levels. Like after Fukushima, the West Coast changed their measurable levels of what was healthy for radiation. So it's like, so I think the only thing you can do is literally measure rainwater on days where there's no lines in the sky, which is often, and then measure, well, where I live at least, and then measure rainwater on days where there are lines in the sky, you know, and then compare those two. But it's like, it's thousands of times different, the aluminum. Thousand times more, over the health levels. Someone we'll look at is Patrick Roddy. Are you aware of him? Patrick Roddie.
That sounds familiar, but I right offhand, I can't think of where I would have heard.
He's an activist out of San Francisco. Himself activist, and he has a website, www.stopbrainus-sf.com, and he does rainwater samples almost daily. And people send him rainwater and send him analysis. And he's found staggering results, especially with barium and strontium. If you're looking to do some research, I would love it if you could watch some of the EPA hearing from last summer. There's an EPA hearing on jet fuel emissions. We actually were able to have a handful of activists there representing us. Patrick Roddy was one of them. Yes, it didn't get any media coverage. Guess why?
No.
Because we had a lot of good things to say. But what Patrick exposed there was a lot, and he discussed strontium and barium levels in his rainwater. He discussed these rare halos in the sky, these things called sun dogs, which don't – basically, water has a refractory index. When the sun hits water, it refracts at a certain – angle, which can cause rainbows, right? Given the right angle and conditions with the water. Well, these rare, what are called sun dogs, is a circular halo around the sun, which are very, very, very rare, especially, you know, before they started spraying chemtrails, they hardly existed. But these rare sun dogs are super rare because the refractory rate or the refractory index of water. But if you look at the refractory index of these toxic chemicals that are used and are patented to be used in geoengineering and weather modification experiments, such as barium and strontium, and they're super deadly chemicals. These chemicals are being sprayed, and then the rare sun dogs are being visible, these halos around the sun, because of the chemicals being used. But he elaborates on that during his 11-minute testimony to the EPA. It's really easy to find. C-SPAN even did a nice had some nice
How did the EPA react at that hearing?
Well, how did they react? They were pretty silent. I mean, he made some pretty harsh and accurate accusations that they weren't doing their job, and they basically just, you know, they didn't say a word. They just said thank you for your, you know, I mean,
well, every single regulatory agency in this country is in the pocket of the industry they're supposed to be regulating.
Exactly what I was about to say. And I don't want to miss a thought that I had earlier. You said that you, when you first heard about chemtrails and started looking up 10 months ago and whatnot, you Googled chemtrails and didn't get anywhere.
That was a couple years ago. It was only like 8 months ago that I really started looking into it seriously.
Cool. Well, either way, I wanted to touch upon that because I meet a lot of people that do their own research, and it's problematic because the media is controlled. You know, there's only six.
Oh, absolutely.
There's only six companies now. It's actually staggering because there were 80 companies just about a decade ago. Now there's six companies that control all the global media, and that's literally one family. You know, like these people can manipulate through all these different publications, and nobody thinks that National Geographic is tied to BBC, is tied to The Economist, is tied to Bloomberg, is tied to Forbes. They're all thinking that these people are different independent resources. And when they all start saying the same thing, like, you know, they support the global warming hoax, or they tell you chemtrails is laughable, then everyone believes it because they trust their wireless device and they trust Siri and they trust Google. And I don't blame them, you know. Like you say, you Google it and you can't find any information. What else are you going to turn? I mean, you can't go to the library and look up information anymore like we used to be able to. So I just wanted to touch on that. I could talk about that forever.
Well, I'm an investigative journalist, and I've been doing this for 16 years. That, you know, when I'm looking for something, I can find it. I just never was seriously looking for it, I don't think. You know, a couple of years ago or something when I just punched it in. But for some reason, I got turned on to the idea, and I went seriously investigating. And, yes, I found out everything, and it's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. You know, and this is really affecting people.
It's hard to find everything, but it is a complex onion once you start peeling it back, because it's not just global, it's not just a global warming hoax to bring about geoengineering. There's a whole manipulative scheme that involves, I'm sure you're well aware, and I didn't mean to be condescending by saying that you can't know it all, but it's so tough. There's so much. I learn stuff all the time. But one thing that is obvious is their push towards a global carbon tax. And this global warming hoax plays into their whole agenda, and chemtrails play a role, and it's all connected, and everyone needs to wake up to it, because this global carbon tax, literally we can't let that happen. I mean, it's just not.
But you know, I really want people, I want to discuss the harm that this spraying and the vaccines and the GMO foods and all this is doing to them. And it is out genocide. I mean, I just posted the show from a couple of weeks ago where I had the expert on the genocide, the UN's global depopulation agenda, and all these things are in it that they're doing to us, and they've been doing to us, you know, forever, killing us off like this and damaging our bodies and damaging our brains and all this stuff with this stuff. And I was watching today, Dr. Blaylock, I'm sure you've heard of him. He really speaks on what this is doing to our bodies and to our brains, and especially with the chemtrails and the vaccines, that bringing on, killing off people, you know, bringing on Alzheimer's and dementia and stuff, that this is, you know, this is affecting this country. So many diseases and stuff are coming up from these chemicals in chemtrails and vaccines and the toxic chemicals in the food that they're selling in the grocery stores here and the poison drinking water. I mean, they're just killing us left and right. And,
What people don't put together, what people need to understand especially, is the interconnectedness of it all. And it's so interconnected that it's almost, I mean, they're doing an unbelievable job at hitting us from every angle. Like, did you know that the fluoride and the aluminum in the chemtrails, fluoride is basically aluminum as well, but the fluoride interacts with the mercury? So you've got mercury in your teeth, some people do, but then you've got mercury in the vaccine. But the mercury and the aluminum together create literally like a chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this? So it's even that much more toxic.
Yeah.
Like, they're basically creating like this bomb, you know? Like, you can take two household products and mix things together and make a little bomb. They're basically doing that inside your body.
Right, exactly. And this is the thing. See, I've been investigating. Well, I started out as an investigative journalist. I quit my daytime reporting job at a regular Dayton Daily News in Ohio. And I started this, and I started out on vaccines. Okay? And so that was back in 2003. And over the years, then I got into the pharma and all their products and all the different ways they were harming us, and I really focused on the psych drugs and things like that for years. And I hadn't investigated chemtrails or the food, okay, all the toxic food that they're selling. And so I didn't have that. But once this all came together, yes, that's what I finally told people. There was a center to this. I mean, I knew the different industries were poisoning us, you know, all the different industries, and I'd written about that. But I never knew there was a center, that this is meant to be, that they mean to do this to us.
And oh, yeah, I know. And it's very diabolical.
It was like, oh, my God, they have been doing this for how long? You know, the point I want to make, though, is that I know that the spraying has been going on for a long time. But as far as, like, the GMO foods and the vaccines and stuff, the people, you know, will say to me, well, I lived this long, you know, I ain't going to worry about that stuff. I'm not going to be harmed by that stuff. No, it has picked up. I mean, the GMOs started coming out in the early 90s, right? Mm-hmm. And they increased the vaccines to this outrageous number of vaccines and stuff in the 80s. And mm-hmm. and they started giving that hepatitis B vaccine on the day of birth. I think it was like in 88 or 89 or something like that. And then the autism epidemic just took off. And that's when I first started investigating the vaccines and the autism epidemic. And at the time, I didn't know anything about autism. The only thing I knew about autism was Rain Man. You know, I knew nothing about it. So I had no horse in that race. When I went and investigated it, it wasn't because I was an interested person because I had a child injured or anything. I didn't know anybody with autism. But when I investigated it, it didn't take me long at all to figure it out that, yes, this was causing it. And so now...
Did the film back
all this,
yet? Sorry to interrupt.
Pardon? Go ahead.
Have you seen that film, Vaxxed, yet?
V-A-X-ed? Oh, yes. Yes. Right. And it's just miraculous that they got that out.
Yeah, it is upsetting. Okay, first off, I applaud you. Thank you so much for all of your investigative work in the vaccine thing. I was lucky enough to be born in 1980. I just missed that all-out attack on the infants that started in the mid-80s. And without any cumulative vaccine studies, like there's,
right.
It is an obvious attack. If, I mean, they took it from a handful of vaccines, so now you're getting like 40 before the age of 3,
right.
And there's no cumulative studies. That's the biggest thing that you can hammer home. I mean, like, think about it. They do stage 4, stage 3 clinical trials on Tylenol, and you're getting
right.
Injected with mercury. And aborted fetuses from another human being, another person's DNA,
it.
And they're not doing any cumulative research studies? That is just,
right.
It's just atrocious. So I think we're going to need more than one show to really talk about chemtrails and vaccines. But I could go. I would love to talk about the vaccines for just a minute. You're aware of
right.
the holistic. You're aware of the holistic doctors that are being murdered, correct?
Yes, tell us about, I was going to get to that. Yes, tell us about that, because I posted a bunch of his videos and stuff on my Facebook page, so anybody interested can go and listen to his lectures and presentations. But tell us about why these doctors are being murdered.
Well, one thing that is important, especially with the youth, right, and I consider the youth anybody younger than me, because I'm 35 and I think I'm like right at this kind of, the bridge between the two, and I look young enough that I think I can act as that bridge and kind of be a unifying factor. I'm hoping so. But either way, I like to simplify things. Things need to be simplified because when people look
right.
up anything online, they're bombarded
mm-hmm.
with both sides of the argument. If it's 9/11 vaccines or anything, there's so much information that people just turn a blind eye because they can't. If there's too much information, they can't create an opinion. If they can't create an opinion, they can't take a stance. And da 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 da. So, I want to make it simple. Here's what happened, okay? And there's so many details and so many people have lost their lives that I can't do it justice, but this is what happened.
Right.
Last summer, these holistic doctors in Florida, they discovered this interaction in your body with the vaccine and this ingredient in the vaccine, okay? There is an ingredient in vaccines called Nagalase. it is either put in there purposely or it's a byproduct of vaccines being bred in chicken embryos or something. But either way, NAGLase is in the vaccine. All you need to know, okay? And it's in all of them. It's in all the major vaccines now. And this NAGLase, okay, once it's in your system, it stays there and it does not leave. Okay, so you get injected in as an infant, and you've got NAGLase, and it's just in your body. And what this NAGLase does, okay, so that's one key word is NAGLase. Second and only last key word, GCMAF, and that's a hard one. But it's what it is, GCMAF is, it stands for something. I'm bad right now. It's a long word. But, okay, we can look that up. GCMAF, it is the engine under the hood of your immune system. Okay, it's this macrophage that goes through, big macrophage chomper, and it goes through, and it is your immune system. It's the engine under the hood of your immune system, and for your entire life, it goes through your entire body, and it just chomps up everything bad. Viruses, cancer, anything that's like cancer is breeding, or a virus came in like HIV, it just chomps it up and gets rid of it, and it's powerful. But NAGLase starts to kill that off. And by the time you're in your mid-30s, you don't have enough of this GCMAF in your body to have an effective immune system. Okay? So you're subject to cancer. You're subject to infections such as HIV and all these other things. Okay? But had you never gotten the NAGLase in your body, your immune system would be so powerful that these things would not be an issue, like especially cancer, right? So basically, these doctors in Florida last summer said, hey, I think we discovered a cure for cancer. It is not getting NAGLase in your system or reintroducing enough GCMAF into your body, which they can do, to build it back up to have an immune system that can actually do its job, right? So these doctors were so excited, and they started telling one another and, you know, investigating the research and really, you know, understanding what they had come up with, and then they all started getting killed.
Right.
14 or something doctors got killed in a month, like starting in August. And since then, any doctor with that information has been systematically eliminated. And a lot of them say they're suicides, but literally this guy in the UK, this holistic doctor in the UK, he was tied up in a rubber suit, beaten to death, hanging from a tree, and they said it was a suicide. I mean, there's corruption. Global corruption, we know, has existed and is dominating like every aspect of all these, you know, facets of all these things. I mean, like, and I don't want to lose touch on the fact that things are so interconnected that even Monsanto bought Climate Corporation for $1 billion a couple years ago, and Monsanto has the genetic rights and patents on all these aluminum resistant seeds. So they're taking a hand in helping with the chemtrails, or maybe they're even all, I mean, I literally think that they're all playing a role. Like, they all are the same. They're one and the same.
I do, too. And I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
And I'm all over the place, sorry, but these doctors.
How did Monsanto come up with that idea to make aluminum-resistant plants if it didn't know what the hell they were doing to the ground to begin with?
Oh, yeah, no, they're playing a role. I mean, if it was up to Monsanto, the chemtrails would be so abundant that the only plants that would grow would be their seed. And their aluminum-resistant genetics would be the only things growing, and everybody would have increased Alzheimer's, and it would just be out of control. But so these doctors, sorry to lose track, these doctors, I'm kind of like that, I'm all over the place, especially if we have so many topics to cover. These doctors have been systematically eliminated, and they are still being killed. Every month, a couple doctors get killed, every single month. And so we're up to 50 doctors, and if you look at it, and you look at the systematic elimination of knowledge, it's literally an attack generationally. They are systematically eliminating us, our power to defend ourselves, or I don't know. I mean, I can't even really see things through their eyes. I'm not that kind of person. I don't know what their motive altogether is, New World Order agenda, whatever. I mean, altogether, all I do know is it's an attack on the infant, and they cannot stick up for themselves. That's the thing. That's the part that really gets me going is it's up to us. Like, we literally have to stick up for them because they are newborn and they're being hit with fluoride in the water, GMO foods, the glyphosate in almost everything, including, I mean, toilet paper and tampons have glyphosate. Like everybody needs to realize that organic isn't just this, like, trendy. I mean, like, literally eating organic is like saving your life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like literally everything else should just have a poison thing and be labeled glyphosate, even the paper towel. Like, everything should either be glyphosate or not glyphosate, because the glyphosate is really bad for you, builds up in your body and all this stuff. So these children need to be protected. They need to be their air, their water, their food, and these big freaking needles, need to be protected from all these things. And somehow we've gotten into this weird world where no one is protecting them, and they're being targeted, you know. And it's like, that's all I want to do is bring transparency to that and make people realize that,
because,
you know, we can live in peace. It's just like, sorry, go ahead.
I look at a generation as like 10 years. That's how I measure it, you know. So we're looking at, we got almost three generations of children that have been destroyed with these vaccines. And it's getting worse. They keep adding more on all the time. And now they're going to make it mandatory. And, you know, the people are really fighting against this. And I said, this to me could bring a revolt, because I can't imagine these parents are not going to allow the government to force them to inject these poisons into their children.
Yeah, and I'm not letting anybody put a needle in my arm or anybody that I know.
No.
I'm not even, not even like my friends and family. Nobody I know is getting touched with a needle. I am not kidding. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to come down to that. And I live in California, and they're pushing that mandatory thing. I really hope that we get some politicians that actually can see through this.
Well, they better, because, but you know, all of Congress, all of them are owned by the corporations. You know, our whole government is owned by the corporations. And they did, and you know, all the regulatory agencies, so they're just, now it's just so blatant. They're just poisoning us right out in the open for the whole world to see. And they don't even care that we know.
Well, I think the biggest problem is their control over the media. We can't.
Yeah, right.
We can't get a consensus or a majority of people thinking the truth, because, well, for one, they're so reliant on the information that is out of their phone. Like, we're in this pickle. That's why my goal is to target the youth. Like, there's a lot of passionate youth out there, and I completely believe in them, but a lot of them believe serious too much. I hate to say it, you know, like their information comes from their phone. And because we live in such a technological age where you trust the media so much, it's so easy to manipulate the masses and tell them that I'm the crazy one, right? You know?
Exactly.
Like, I do
we're the
grassroots
crazy ones,
activism.
Right.
I do grassroots activism basically every single day. But I get a lot of people that say, yeah, I'll look that up, you know? And I can't hammer it home enough that, like, the media is not to be trusted. I like to bring up, oh, man, we're going to, this will be really short. I like to bring up that on 9/11, the BBC reported that World Trade Center 7 had surprisingly fallen 26 minutes early. They read their script 26 minutes early 15 years ago, meaning the media is controlled. The media is bought. The media is controlled. We can't trust them.
Totally.
And if they're telling you that, I mean, I don't even watch TV anymore, but like,
I don't either.
Go on about the gun control thing and this. I mean, there is a concerted effort to disarm and dumb down the public. It is obvious.
And Dr. Blaylock talked about that a lot,
Can we talk about the Portland conference, too?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, first I'd like to bring some attention to the fact that we had a very, very, very successful global chemtrail summit in Vancouver last May. It was amazing. The house was packed. It was a conference hall, and we packed it, and I was very, very touched by the turnout, but the demographic was very old. I couldn't believe it, Evelyn. How old are you, Evelyn? Sorry to ask.
Oh,
I'm
going to be 66.
Yeah, so everybody was your age. Everybody was your age, and what I gathered from it was, A, they're not listening to Sirius, and they're actually thinking for themselves. But also, they've been around long enough to know that something's up. They hadn't seen any lines in the sky until 10, 20 years ago, and they know that something is up. You know, these kids that have seen it the same way the whole time, I think that's where we're going to have a little difficulty convincing them what's really the truth. So
was it
that's
you
why
that
I really want some kids to step up and lead the way.
Was it you that I heard today? Because I was listening to a bunch of videos, you know, on chemtrails and stuff, that was talking about them bringing up old movies or old films or something and sticking chemtrails in the sky. So the kids
they
will
have
just
digitally,
be so
used to yes, see it. Yes, they have digitally remastered old movies such as Jaws. I mean, there is a normalization that goes on through Disney, through refurbishing old films, through even the advertisements. Like, everybody is, it's just a normalization process through the media where everyone thinks that it's been there and that it's normal. They even do it with violence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They normalize violence to an extent. I can't even believe it. I was thinking about just my childhood and how big a deal it was, the O.J. Simpson trial and the O.J. Simpson murder and all that stuff. And that nowadays would be nothing. That nowadays
nothing.
Would just be another little headline compared to things are changing very rapidly. But where was
well,
I
it's
going?
Just all full
oh,
of
yeah,
it.
The chemtrail
I mean, helmet. When I called and canceled my cable, I called AT&T and I told them right off, and I told them to get that satanistic filth out of my house for good.
Yeah.
You know,
I
must have bitched at that woman for 15 minutes telling her, because they were telling me that they were going to charge me extra because I was on a year contract or something. And I said, you aren't charging me anything extra. I said, AT&T knew what they were putting in this house when they put it in. I said, I want that filthy satanistic out of my house. And see, I
good
hadn't watched
you.
TV. I hadn't watched TV. So I'd only started watching. I probably hadn't watched TV really for about 20 years. So I started watching it, and I couldn't believe what they had on there for little kids to be watching in prime time. It was filth, and Satanist filth, and you know, all the music, and all the, you know, all the award shows and everything, it's just full of Satanism. And this is normal now for kids. This is what they've been programming our kids. It's mighty
everything
scary.
Has been desensitized, everything has been desensitized and sexualized, and violence has been normalized. It's actually a really weird direction that we're going. So the Vancouver Summit, it was a huge success, except for the lack of youth, which really made me realize that I want to take the second annual Global Chemtrails Summit, which is going to be in Portland, Oregon, on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I want to take that one a different direction and have it. It's still going to be an awesome summit, but it's going to be more a concert. I want to get the youth involved. Okay, it's going to be a show, like with speakers as well. But I really want to get the youth. Like, that is the most important aspect that we're dealing with because, you know, it's an attack generationally. So we've got to think ahead and really get the youth involved in creating their own future and being the change that they want to see in the world.
Great.
So that's my goal. But, yeah, so May 6th, 5, 6, 17, I know it's a long way out, but I'm going to be advertising. I mean, I'm going to be getting as many people as I can there from this point forth. 5, 6, 17, Portland, Oregon. It'll be a free show. It'll be an awesome concert. It'll be all day. I'll provide food. It'll be fun. So anybody who has a calendar out, 5, 6, 17, there's a Facebook page for it too.
Right. Now, can you tell us? Okay, talk some more about the vaccines. Like we always talk about autism because that's the biggest epidemic that has exploded. But that isn't the only harm these vaccines do to kids. I mean,
I get really, really emotional about Gardasil. There's so many, but it's an attack and there's a manipulation. You see, they take fear, all right?
Right.
So for the girls, they tell them that they're going to get HPV, which is an STD, which, you know, that's scary as it is. It's scary enough as it is. But then they tell you that you're going to get cervical cancer from the HPV and that you can die. Well, if you look at the statistics of cervical cancer fatality rate, they don't even come near the fatality rates of the Gardasil shot.
I know it.
It's disturbing. It is absolutely disturbing. So I have a friend, and I mean, I've got so many projects going on right now, but one of them is a it's a vaccine related documentary, and I've got a woman who I'm interviewing, and out of Oregon, okay, and she left her job as a school teacher because she was so disgusted with the direction things were going what happened was she witnessed, and I can talk about it for a while, but I'll sum it up in just a couple minutes. But the main points of her argument are staggering and shocking. And this is Oregon, which is a very, they're pretty nice on the vaccine thing compared to the rest of the world, the rest of the country. And there's no fluoride here compared to the rest of the country. Well, comparatively, like, I've been doing my research, and there's certain pockets of the country that aren't as fluoridated, and Oregon and Northern California, even the major city like Portland and Ashland, Oregon and whatnot, they don't have fluoride. They're pretty awake to it all. And they have little meetings to see, should we add fluoride to the water? And they always come out, why would we add a neurotoxin to our water supply? Like, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Why would you spend money with that?
This is what I don't understand, why people can't go in and demand on a local level to get that fluoride out of our water.
Yeah, well, they're fluoridated for one, but also I just don't think people have the mentality that they can actually be the change that they want to see in the world anymore. They think that they just get online and click buttons and that they can represent themselves and show their opinion to their peers via social media. Like, if it was the 60s, they would not be getting away with any of this. It would be different.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Times have changed.
Right.
Times have changed, and people are living in a disillusioned world where everything is online. It's kind of weird. But,
I'm looking at it now that it's up to us grandparents to save these babies because the younger generation doesn't get this. You know, I was lucky enough, I started investigating vaccines right when my daughter had a child late in life, my grandson. And I moved up here, and I stopped her from getting any vaccines. And I'll tell you, I went with her to the pediatricians and stuff, and they really fight with you, the mother and stuff, to try to talk you into getting them vaccines. I don't think if I wouldn't have been there that she would have stood up against them. I think she would have gave in. And I just demanded that, no, we will not. And we fired one. We didn't even hire her. And then I seen she had her advertising in the room. She's a pediatrician with her ADHD meds ad out there, you know, and I told my daughter, let's get out of here. Because she's telling
her
that isn't
true.
Does not cause autism. And I said, is this what you do? Look at these young mothers in the eye and lie to them like that? And this was back in 2005.
Yeah, it's
well, anyhow,
atrocious.
My grandson never got any shots, and do you know, he is 10 years old. He has only been down sick in bed one day in his whole life. And that's how healthy he is.
I've met a lot of people that have had no vaccines ever and have never been sick. The vaccine, what they're trying to pitch to you is such a lie. And the doctors are very manipulative. And because they have that white coat on, people really believe them. And they don't, there's no scrutiny there. That's what the problem is. We need to create our own regulatory body that actually scrutinizes these doctors. But let me just tell you what I witnessed with this, interviewing this woman. And I look forward to interviewing her some more. She was a school teacher. She witnessed a complete restructuring of the countywide school system, in terms of the way that they medicate. They changed it to a once a year, the parents do a permission slip and sign off, and then they can be medicated throughout the year. So one permission slip, and then they can just medicate. So she witnessed a countywide fluoride pill day where they all walked in and gave everybody, all the fifth graders, big orange fluoride pills. And she said, where's the permission slip for this? And they said, oh, yeah, well, they signed off at the beginning of the year. She witnessed them change the legal age for consent to 17, okay? So imagine how many high schoolers are turning 18 and they're leaving, or they're 18 and they're either 18 at the beginning, middle, or end of their senior year. But some of those 18-year-olds are leaving, and they're turning 18 and they're leaving, and they haven't been able to be regulated while they're in high school, right? So they changed the law to consent at 17 so they could get all the girls. So they go in and they – now you're an adult, you're 17, you should get the Gardasil shot. So they changed her high school where this woman was working. It had one nurse's office, and in 5 years, it turned from one nurse's office to six. They expanded it into a literally doctor's office that's constantly giving out fluoride, vaccines for Gardasil. And she said a fifth grader came up to her and said, I won't say her name, Mrs. Susie, I just want to be taken off the Prozac. They are giving antidepressants. And I saw that you did a show on SSIDs. I really appreciate that. That's really important. They're prescribing antidepressants to elementary school students. They're giving right. fluoride to elementary school students, and they are giving 17-year-old girls, through fear-mongering tactics, they're giving them Gardasil shots that kill, I don't know the exact number. I don't have it off the top of my head.
A lot.
I think they,
a lot.
It kills a lot of girls. It's a very high percentage. It's a very high percentage. I want to say it's like 1 out of 330, I think it is.
I bet it is. I bet it is. And then they also get this paralyzing, I don't even remember what different disorders or diseases they get, but a lot of them end up paralyzed and everything from Gardasil, too. And plus and I wrote an article not too long ago about this, that it's also messing up women's reproductive systems, this Gardasil, making them go into early menopause, for God's sakes.
Oh, man. That's horrible. And don't call me on the 1 out of 330. It might be like 1 out of 600. But it's a very high percentage considering the death rate of cervical cancer. And another thing that I'm not sure everybody's aware of is these vaccines, they have someone else's DNA, okay? Another
right.
human being's DNA. So you are injected
right.
with someone else's DNA, okay? You don't know what that does to you. Your body could react, but slowly, and this is why I believe people are getting these autoimmune diseases. These people are getting eczema and all these upticks and all these quirky things. It's because your body, like once you finally are exposed to something, your body can't react because it's been so tweaked out. You've got someone else's DNA in you. I mean, doesn't that just sound weird?
Yes. I mean, that part, too, that part just bothers me so much. I didn't know about that, and probably till about a year ago, that there's aborted fetal tissue in those vaccines, that, yes, you're getting another person's DNA in your vaccines.
And, through Planned Parenthood. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. I investigated them not too long ago, too, and they're just in it for the money, and they're just the most corrupt, rotten. Ugh. All this stuff just disgusts me so much. I'm not kidding you. And it is hard to investigate this stuff because it is also appalling and disgusting that you just don't want to look at it anymore.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I
tell you what.
I
have this Google Alert. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for Google Alerts. It's free, and it'll give you however often you want your email to tell you when certain terms are dropped on the Internet. So doing
right.
my due diligence for the film and whatnot, anytime atmospheric aerosols, chemtrails, geoengineering, these keywords come out on the Internet,
right.
I'm notified.
Right.
So every day I get an email, and almost
yeah.
every day there are articles that are normalization, societal conditioning of an ongoing crime against humanity, which is chemtrails. And they're saying, what these articles are saying are that we need a fix to global climate change. We need a fix to global warming, and they have a risky solution. It's called geoengineering. By means
right.
of spraying atmospheric aerosols, aluminum, barium, strontium, into the atmosphere, we can hypothetically block out the sun and save ourselves from global warming. So they're trying to sell us a solution to a problem that they're basically trying to sell us the problem as the solution. Like, the problem is chemtrails, and they're trying to normalize it and say, hey, we have this fix. This is something that's not going on, but guess what? We can save the day by blocking out the sun because you should feel bad about your global carbon emissions. And guess what? We're going to tax you globally, too, put smart meters on your house and all this stuff. It is a really weird scheme. But, yeah, I get these emails from Google, and then I have to go and share this with everyone on my Facebook page and stuff like that. But it's disgusting now. I've gotten to this point where every day when I open those Google alerts, I know I'm going to see some manipulative societal conditioning, like really eager. Like, they are aggressive. Bloomberg and The Economist and The Washington Times, these big publications,
all of them,
they all pitch the same dirty, dirty, dirty tricks. It's bad.
Every
I mean, even Time Magazine's front page is convincing people that if they don't get their kids vaccinated, then they're the problem, and they could get the next kid sick. And if your neighbor's not getting vaccinated, you should report them. And, like, it is crazy out there.
It is. And this thing, you know, I had never, over the years, I had never looked into these kids being vaccinated, you know, but I think I had just assumed that they must have, you know, got little needles now and stuff like this, you know. Well, I just went online here a couple weeks ago, well, probably about a month ago, and was looking, and I found these videos of these infants being vaccinated, and they stick four of them vaccines in there. I'm telling you, this is child abuse. This is like witchcraft. Watching, then I found a video or a video list of 200 and some of these babies getting vaccinated. And I watch them, and they make these mothers hold these babies down. These kids practically quit breathing. They're crying so hard. And this happens at well, when they're born, the day of birth, they get two shots. And then 2 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, they give them these four vaccines. And I'm telling you, you see this, it is child abuse. These babies, they are not going to get over this. I was a counselor for almost 15 years. And I'm telling you, these babies are not going to get over this, being tortured like that in their infancy.
Yeah, it's
every couple months. Oh, God.
It's really sad. Yeah, it's a very early stage in your life to be subject to some sort of barbaric torture that's not even necessary. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'm sorry that this is so bad, but a lot of the blame lies on the parents. They need to do their own research, and you can't believe everything that you are told. I just can't get past it.
Right. Well, by now, I'm blaming it on the parents, too, because by now the research is out there. And even when I did it, it wasn't out there, and I had to go looking, and I had to go looking to find the studies and stuff from many years ago, studies on thimerosal from back in the 30s and stuff. But I did it to figure this out. But now parents having babies, I can't stand it when I see somebody pregnant. I don't even ask them if they vaccinate because I can kind of tell they probably do, and I can't stand it. You know,
well, yeah, but you have to, you can raise awareness. The thing is, Evelyn, and I know it's gross and it's hard, but a lot of people just don't have the information because of the media. Where are they going to get the information? I have spoken to people recently that I was like, I don't even want to talk to this person. They don't know about 9/11. They don't know about chemtrails. They don't know about anything. They're so asleep and I'm so awake. But at the end of the day, I told them a bunch of stuff. And they were really actually listening, and they said, oh, wow, I've never thought of it that way. And, oh, wow, I've never really looked up, you know? And it gets really frustrating, trust me, I know. But at the end of the day, it's up to us to kind of be the messenger.
Right. Well, you know, and mind control comes in, too. I figured all this out about 10 months ago. That how could people, because I used to get so mad because I would post information on my Facebook page and all my friends and family members could read it and stuff, and that's why I'd post it. And nobody seemed to care about nothing, you know? And so then I got investigating all this mind control and stuff, and with the TV, the internet, that's what it is. These people don't get it because they're mind controlled. And that would be fine if it wasn't that they were raising these kids, having these babies that are being poisoned. And I keep telling people, you better wake up, because if you don't, there is not going to be a next generation for your kids or grandkids. And people just go along, you know, and it's so scary.
Well, it's really hard telling somebody that they're brainwashed, and it's really hard telling people that they're under mind control. And the way that I like to go about convincing people of that is just, it's kind of simple, okay? There are a lot of electromagnetic frequencies that we're being hit with, okay? But even at a simpler level, there's those bulbs, you know, those spirally mercury bulbs that Obama pushed right when he came in office, the energy-saving bulbs. Those bulbs, people have physical reactions to those bulbs. They emit a really, really weird frequency. And basically what it's doing is, okay, this is what I like to explain to people, okay? Saying, hey, you're brainwashed is totally, it's kind of hard, right? But what it is, is these things are pulsing, okay? And that pulsing, you can't see that it's pulsing, but what it's doing is it's making, and I know you know, but I like to, again, make it simple for people. It's flashing so fast that it's making this pulse that your brain can't relax enough to be able to make concrete decisions on things.
Exactly. Well, Matt, I'm definitely going to have you back on again because, yes, we need to keep talking about this. And I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm really looking forward to that movie of yours, too. Keep us posted on that.
Thanks, Evelyn. Thanks so much for everything that you do.
Well, thank you. And thank you. And please agree to come on again.
I would love to.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Well, everybody, I hope you learned a few things today. I know I did. When I have these experts on, I investigate, but I sure don't get it all. But I want to thank Matt, and I hope you people will turn in next week. And next week I'm going to have the author of Trafficking on the Jeffrey Epstein pedophilia scandal. So we'll see you next week. Bye. The least that I can do.